I want you to just take a second and close your eyes. Well, I mean, unless you're driving or operating heavy machinery, obviously. But just take a moment to imagine the sheer logistical nightmare that is your physical body right in this exact fraction of a second.
Oh, it's absolute chaos under the hood.
Right, because you've got light waves traveling at, what, 300,000 kilometers per second, just slamming into your retinas and triggering this immediate chemical explosion in your optic nerve.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, the sound waves of my voice are taking their sweet time. They're traveling through the air, a sluggish crawl, mechanically vibrating the tiny little bones inside your inner ear.
Yeah, the physical lag is massive.
And on top of that, your heart is pumping thick fluid through thousands of miles of vessels, your lungs are expanding, and beneath all of that sensory stuff, you have this swirling, completely unpredictable undercurrent of emotions and memories and, you know, random thoughts.
All of which are processing at totally different speeds.
Exactly. Every single one of these physical and mental signals is traveling through your nervous system at entirely different biological tempos. So, logically, given all that lag, your experience of the world right now should be a choppy, disjointed mess.
It really should.
It should feel exactly like a badly dubbed movie where the actor's lips move and the dialogue arrives a full second later, but it doesn't. You experience this seamless, effortless, unified now.
Which is just a profound and remarkable illusion. Mm. And honestly, for decades, the question of how the human brain pulls off that specific illusion has arguably been the biggest mystery in cognitive science.
The famous binding problem.
Right, the binding problem. How do we bind all this separate data into one reality?
And that brings us to our mission for today. We are doing a deep dive into the Brizard Research Archive. Specifically, we're focusing on a truly fascinating manuscript published in April of 2026. It's titled The Vibrational Resonance Integration Framework, or VRF for short.
VRF.
Our goal today is to uncover the hidden biological machinery that actually stitches all of this sensory, physical, and emotional chaos into a single unified moment of conscious reality.
And I just want to say, what makes this paper so significant is that it represents a massive paradigm shift in how we think about the mind.
How so?
Well, traditional neuroscience spent a lot of time looking for a single place where consciousness happens. You know, they were looking for a specific anatomical region, like a central theater in the brain, where all the sensory data is collected, projected, and viewed by you.
Like a little homunculus watching a screen in your head.
Right, exactly. But VRIF flips this entirely. It suggests that consciousness isn't a place at all. It is fundamentally a dynamic control problem of temporal coordination.
Temporal meaning time.
Yes, time. It's a continuous, incredibly high-stakes rhythm game that your brain is playing every single millisecond, basically just to keep your reality from literally fragmenting.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I need to stop you right there. If we're going to talk about a framework called the Vibrational Resonance Integration Framework, I have to push back firmly on the terminology here.
I had a feeling you might.
Yeah, because I can easily see someone reading that title and immediately thinking about, you know, New Age healing crystals or quantum mysticism or paying someone to align their aura.
Oh, absolutely.
Are we talking about pseudoscience here? Because we need to be clear about what kind of data we're looking at.
I am extremely glad you brought that up because it is by far the most common misconception. We need to strictly ground this theory in hard neurobiology.
So no crystals.
No crystals. VRIF explicitly states that the word vibrational in this context, does not refer to any non-biological claims or metaphysical concepts. In this framework, vibrational refers exclusively to measurable, physical, oscillatory, and rhythmic structures inside the body and the brain.
Measurable, like with machines.
Yes. Literal, electrical, and physiological rhythms that we can observe and track with an EEG cap or an MEG scan. We're talking about neural oscillations, heart rate variability, and the actual physical, mechanical rhythm of your respiration.
Okay, so we are talking about biological metronomes, electrical pulses, and physical beats.
Exactly. The framework explains that your brain and body process reality in parallel streams. And each of these streams operates at its own characteristic rhythmic frequency.
Give me an example of a stream.
Sure. So your perceptual streams, like the visual data of the room you were sitting in right now, fire in incredibly rapid gamma rhythms, oscillating anywhere from 30 to 100 times per second.
That's fast.
Very fast. But your emotional streams, which are processing how you subconsciously feel about that room, operate in much slower theta and alpha waves.
Oh, I see.
And then you have your bodily signals, like your breath and your autonomic arousal tone, which operate on what we call infraslow rhythms. Those can take several seconds to complete a single cycle.
Right. So if your visual stream is playing at a frantic 120 beats per minute and your emotional stream is playing at a relaxed 60 beats per minute, how do you experience a single coherent song?
That's the million-dollar question.
Because if I have all these different tempos, it feels like they would inevitably just drift apart.
That is the exact problem VREF solves. Because you're right, they do naturally drift. And if they drift too far out of alignment, your conscious experience fractures.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a central mechanism that actively, continuously forces all these varying tempos to align into a shared temporal grid.
And VREF claims to have identified that mechanism.
Mm.
The paper introduces what they call the resonance integration node, or the RIN.
RIN, yes.
Now, looking at the anatomy they outlined, this isn't just one tiny localized dot in the center of your head, right? They describe it as a distributed functional hub.
Correct.
And the paper mentions it utilizes massive networks like, let me check the terms, thalamocortical loops, the anterior cingulate cortex, and the insula. Let's break that jargon down.
It is a lot of jargon.
Yeah, because the anterior cingulate cortex, that's basically the brain's error detection center, right? Like the check engine light on a car dashboard.
That is a perfect way to describe it. The anterior cingulate cortex constantly monitors for conflicts or prediction errors. Meanwhile, the insula maps the internal state of your physical body. So your heart rate, your gut feelings.
Okay.
And the thalamocortical loops act as these massive relay stations, connecting the deep brain to the outer processing areas of the cortex. So the RIN isn't a single anatomical structure, but an active circuit running between these areas. It acts as a real-time tuning system.
So the RIN is essentially a ruthless orchestra conductor, or honestly, like a DJ at a club desperately trying to beat match two tracks.
I love the DJ analogy.
Because if the brass section, or in this case, the emotional stream, starts dragging and drifting out of time with the visual stream, the conductor doesn't just politely wave a wand and ask them to fix it. They force the rhythm back into strict alignment so the audience doesn't notice the mistake.
That is exactly what is happening. And the RIN doesn't just guess whether the tracks are aligned. It continuously measures the alignment using a very specific, rigorous biological math.
Right. The paper formalizes this as the integration strength equation.
Yes.
Okay. This is where the paper gets dense, but I think it's the most fascinating part. The equation for integration strength, or IS, states that it equals phase coherence multiplied by amplitude matching multiplied by cross-stream coupling.
It sounds intimidating, but it's actually very elegant.
The RIN is constantly computing this math, trying to maintain a specific threshold. Let's play with this equation. Phase coherence. I'm guessing that means the actual peaks and valleys of the different brain waves need to hit at the exact same millisecond.
Precisely. If the visual stream is signaling rapid movement and the emotional stream is signaling fear, those two electrical peaks have to fire in absolute unison for your brain to bind them together into the single conscious thought of, that thing is dangerous.
Wow.
If the peaks are out of phase, the data simply doesn't connect.
That makes perfect sense. But what about the second variable, amplitude matching? Why does the actual size or power of the wave matter? If they are peaking at the exact same time, shouldn't that be enough to bind the data?
You would think so, yeah. But it comes down to a biological concept called excitability windows.
Excitability windows.
Yeah. Neurons are only receptive to incoming signals during specific phases of their electrical cycle. Think of it like a doorway that only opens for a fraction of a second.
Okay.
So if the visual stream is screaming its data with a huge amplitude, but the emotional stream is just whispering, the whisper simply gets drowned out. The excitability window closes before the weaker signal can be fully processed and integrated.
Oh, I see.
Amplitude matching ensures both streams have enough raw electrical power to actually cross the threshold and influence each other.
Which perfectly leads into the final variable, cross-stream coupling. That's the actual handshake. It's the measurement of how much one stream is successfully altering the other. So that's the math. But let's take this out of the laboratory and put it into daily life. What happens when the math fails? Like, what does a tiny failure look like? Is this what happens when I confidently walk into the kitchen, stare at the refrigerator, and completely forget why I went in there? I always feel like my brain is just buffering for a second.
That buffering feeling is actually a brilliant real-world example of a micro mismatch event.
Wait, really?
Absolutely. You had a cognitive intention, getting a snack and a motor stream walking to the kitchen.
Yeah.
But momentarily, the phase coherence slipped. The streams drifted. Your RIN detected that sudden drop in integration strength, and it responds instantly by broadcasting a corrective signal to wrangle those streams back together.
How does it actually force the reset, physically?
It uses what's called thalamocortical gating.
Yeah, okay, gating.
Yeah. The thalamus, sitting deep in the brain, acts as a physical gatekeeper. When it detects that drop in integration strength, it forces a timing reset. It sends out these sweeping, rhythmic electrical pulses that physically force those drifting neuronal populations to synchronize back into a unified temporal scaffold.
Wow. So it literally slams the fader on the DJ mixer and forces the beat back onto the track.
Yes. And the staggering part is that this entire process, the mismatch detection, the error calculation, the thalamic gating, the forced rhythmic reset, happens in hundreds of milliseconds.
That's incredibly fast.
It is happening beneath your conscious awareness, potentially dozens of times a minute, just to keep your reality feeling smooth.
It's exhausting just thinking about the metabolic effort required for that. But let's look at the extremes of this system. What happens when the biological math is perfectly balanced for a long period of time? The paper refers to this as an extended period of high integration strength.
Oh, this is fascinating. When the RIN is succeeding effortlessly, when your perceptual streams, your motor streams, and your emotional evaluations are perfectly phase-locked in a stable, resonant regime, you experience what psychologists commonly call a flow state.
Oh, wow, the flow state, the holy grail of productivity.
Exactly.
But wait, the paper says that during a flow state, the RIN is essentially coasting. I want to challenge that because when I think of being in a flow state, like, you know, playing a fast-paced sport or coding for 6 hours straight or playing an intense video game, my heart is pounding. My brain is firing on all cylinders. It feels incredibly intense. How is that biologically coasting?
It's a really great distinction to make. You're physically and cognitively active, yes.
Yeah.
But your resonance integration node is coasting.
How so?
Because your internal alignment is so mathematically stable, the RIN doesn't have to waste massive amounts of metabolic energy broadcasting those corrective reset pulses. Right. The brain isn't constantly fighting internal prediction errors. The streams are just naturally nesting within each other. Subjectively, that biological efficiency translates to a feeling of absolute clarity, effortless focus, and deep immersion.
Okay, I see. The conductor can put the baton down for a minute because the orchestra is perfectly in the groove.
Precisely.
But let's pivot to the dark side of this equation. What happens when the streams are stubbornly fighting each other? Let's say you're chronically stressed or you experience a sudden emotional shock.
Right. When effective rhythms, your intense emotional states and your cognitive rhythms fiercely compete, you enter what VRIF calls an undercoupled regime.
Undercoupled?
Yeah. The RIN becomes absolutely overwhelmed by massive cascading mismatch events. The thalamus tries to send corrective pulses, but the coupling just collapses repeatedly.
And how does that translate to the human experience? What does an undercoupled regime actually feel like for you and me?
The subjective experience is severe emotional dysregulation. Your brain is technically still processing all the visual and auditory information around you, but it cannot hold the timing structure together long enough to create a stable, calming, unified episode of consciousness.
So it's breaking apart.
Yes. You feel scattered, incredibly distractible, detached from your surroundings, or even physically fragmented.
So we're talking about the mechanics of anxiety.
Basically, yes.
This gives us a strictly mechanical, measurable explanation for why severe anxiety or a panic attack literally makes the world feel disjointed and overwhelming. It isn't just a poetic metaphor about falling apart.
No, it's not.
The biological sync cable is literally slipping out of the port.
Yeah.
Your internal streams are out of phase, and your brain simply cannot do the math fast enough to force them back into alignment.
Exactly. And honestly, it removes the stigma that panic is just all in your head and frames it as a measurable mechanical failure of rhythmic synchronization.
But that raises a massive problem, doesn't it? If the brain's internal rhythm is that fragile, if it can be completely derailed by a sudden emotional spike, where does the RIM look for help?
What do you mean?
Well, if the DJ's monitors are broken and they can't hear the beat, where do they find a reliable, steady, unbreakable anchor to pull everything back into sync?
The brain looks downward. It looks to the physical body. VRIF explains that the brain heavily relies on interoceptive scaffolding.
Okay, so it's using the literal meat and bones of the body to prop up the invisible mechanics of the mind.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize it.
Yeah.
Your heart rate, and your respiration provide a very slow, very pervasive oscillatory structure. These bodily rhythms act as a low-frequency carrier wave.
A carrier wave?
Right. They provide a massive, stable, physiological foundation that supports and organizes the much faster, more erratic brain waves happening up in the cortex.
Okay, let's build on that carrier wave analogy. Is it like a massive, deep ocean swell where the fast, erratic brain waves, like your panic or your racing thoughts, are like little speedboats bouncing around chaotically on the surface?
Oh, that's good.
They want to fly off in every direction and crash into each other. But the slow, deep breath is the massive ocean current underneath, literally forcing all those chaotic little boats to ride the same underlying physical direction.
That is scientifically precise, yes. By establishing a slow, powerful, infra-slow rhythm, you are creating a stable, predictable window of excitability that allows the faster cognitive and emotional rhythms to nest inside it.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. This completely reframes the most cliche piece of advice in human history.
Take a deep breath.
Exactly. When someone is having a panic attack or they are furious, what is the very first thing we tell them to do? Take a deep breath. And under VRAF, we finally understand the mathematical why behind that advice.
It's not just psychology.
Right. It isn't just about trying to relax your tense muscles or getting more oxygen to the brain. Paced, deliberate breathing is a literal structural hack for your consciousness.
It really is.
You are manually providing your overwhelmed RN with a highly predictable, slow-moving metronome. You are physically forcing the integration strength equation to balance by providing a massive, unbreakable amplitude on the bodily stream.
It is a profound bottom-up intervention, yes. You are giving the thalamus a rhythm it can lock onto to reset the system. But the framework reveals something even more incredible.
Oh.
The RIN's ability to find a stabilizing anchor isn't limited to the inside of your own physical body.
Wait. If I'm totally dissociated from my own body, does the brain have a backup metronome? Can it grab onto something in the physical room with me?
It can. The RIN actively locks onto external rhythmic structures in the environment. VRIF outlines the biological mechanics behind social entrainment.
Social entrainment.
Yeah. When you are in a deep, engaging conversation with someone, or when you are moving in physical sync with a group of people, your brain actively uses their timing cues as an exogenous or external scaffold to stabilize your own internal coupling.
Hold on. Do you mean that when I am talking to a friend and the conversation is just flowing flawlessly, my brain is literally using the cadence of their speech and the micro expressions on their face as an external metronome?
Yes.
Does my physiology actually change to match theirs?
It does. Studies cited in the framework show physiological synchrony during engaging social interactions. Heart rates actually begin to align. Respiration patterns begin to mirror one another.
That's wild.
And neural oscillations in specific cortical regions phase lock between the two speakers. Their external physical rhythm helps reduce your internal mismatch events.
So when we say we are on the same wavelength as someone, VRIF is suggesting that under the hood, this isn't just a nice poetic metaphor.
Not at all.
It is a literal description of biological phase locking. Interpersonal timing regularities measurably reduce the computational workload on your internal resonance integration node.
Yes. We literally use each other's physical presence to stay temporally stable. It completely transforms how we view human connection from a mere psychological preference into a critical neurological stabilizing mechanism.
That is deeply profound. We use each other to keep our grip on reality.
Exactly.
Well, let's synthesize everything we've uncovered, because we have journeyed through some incredibly complex territory today.
We really have.
The vibrational resonance integration framework fundamentally transforms the abstract philosophical mystery of what is consciousness into a dynamic, measurable control problem. Every single second of your life, your brain is actively fighting a war against biological lag.
A literal rhythm game.
Right. It is using the resonance integration node to constantly run the math on your vision, your memories, your body, and your emotions. And it is constantly forcefully resetting them into a resonant harmony so that you don't fragment into a million different disconnected sensations.
And crucially, it accomplishes this monumental task by hunting for anchors, whether that is the slow, deliberate, steady rhythm of your own breath or the physical, synchronous presence of another human being sitting right across from you.
We started this deep dive by asking why your reality doesn't feel like a badly dubbed movie, with the audio and the video hopelessly out of sync. We learned that the brain prevents that by constantly locking onto biological metronomes. But I want to leave you with a final lingering question to ponder long after this deep dive ends.
I'm intrigued.
If our conscious stability, our very biological ability to keep our minds from fragmenting into anxiety, distraction, and dysregulation, heavily relies on rhythmic entrainment. If we literally require the physical synchronous presence of other human beings as external metronomes to keep our biological math balanced, what happens to our internal resonance, our actual grip on reality, when we isolate ourselves in highly asynchronous, disconnected digital environments?
Oh, wow.
What happens to the math of your mind when you spend 12 hours a day staring at a screen, communicating through delayed text messages and disjointed feeds, where all of those natural, stabilizing biological rhythms are completely stripped away? Without those physical anchors, are we inadvertently forcing ourselves to live inside that badly dubbed movie?